Welcome to Nightlife, the first hour.
Now, you didn't know this, but you've got a dinner date with me tonight, and you're in for a treat. We're off to the world's most remote fine dining restaurant. The restaurant is called Cox, and it sits on a blustery subpolar hillside in the Faroe Islands in the North Atlantic Sea, an hour and a half by plane from Scotland, so very, very remote. Now, despite its unforgiving location, Cox has been awarded 2 Michelin stars and is featured in a new film called Michelin Stars 2, Nordic by Nature. I'll be speaking with the filmmaker Rasmus Dinesen in a bit, but Cox's head chef, Paul Andreas Ziska, joins me now. Paul, hello.
Hey.
Welcome to Nightlife. Thanks for chatting to us about this. This is very exciting. The Faroe Islands have always intrigued me. It's so remote and such an inhospitable place to live by anyone's standards. Can you describe the landscape and vegetation just to set the scene for people who aren't familiar with it?
Yeah, of course. So the Faroe Islands are 18 small islands where roughly 50,000 people live, and it's a quite a dramatic place. I think it's tall mountains with and green valleys and a lot of wind and rain, and it's quite rough. Rough climate, no trees whatsoever, so it's all just steep mountains and deep green hills.
And Paul, did you grow up there? What was it like growing up there?
Yeah, I'm born and raised on the Faroe Islands. It's difficult to describe what it is for me. It's just how my life.
It's all you know, but yeah.
But it's a quite slow
it is what it
pace,
did. We actually
and,
because
you know a very close knit of a community.
We
you know, I've lived within the walking distance of my grandmother's,
and
so it's quite easy lifestyle, I think.
Paul, your restaurant. Was it a long-held dream of yours?
No, I don't know. It's, when we started off, the restaurant opened up in 2009. And, we started, we were 2 guys in the kitchen and it was not a very well-known restaurant, of course, in the beginning. And but I think we all knew we all saw a potential in the restaurant. I mean, we were seeing other good restaurants using raw materials from the Faroe Islands, langoustines and fish and so on. And we kind of thought to ourselves, well, if other restaurants can be well known and thing of such high standards and professionalism with our ingredients, then we should be able to do it ourselves. That's that was kind of the thought behind it.
I'm speaking to head chef at Cox Restaurant, Paul Andreas Ziska, and the new film has been made about his restaurant called Nordic by Nature. So, Paul, your restaurant is so remote. It must be a real effort, a real journey for diners to even get there. I mean, how do they reach your restaurant?
Well, I think, we are, it's remote, but it's still, the infrastructure on the islands and the traffic to and from, like the airplanes to and from the islands as well. It's not impossible. It's 2 hours plane ride from Copenhagen. I think most people travel through Copenhagen or through Iceland as well. There's only only an hour or so from Iceland. It's not impossible to arrive to
all the right. Faroe Islands. And so when people land at the airport on the Faroe Islands, how do they get to your restaurant?
really only by car. We have all the islands, or most of the at least main islands, and villages are connected by tunnels or subsea tunnels as well. So the infrastructure on the islands is really good. You can drive more or less everywhere. So getting to the restaurant, you know, it's not more than I don't know, half an hour ride from the airport. But the restaurant is been located in a valley, and you have to kind of cross a river to get to it. So the restaurant itself is quite off road. So we pick up guests by the lake and drive them up themselves or ourselves, so that we don't have
people getting lost.
Yes, exactly. Getting stuck or something like this.
Yeah, Paul. The word "cox," the name of your restaurant in Faroese, means someone who fusses over something in pursuit of perfection. And the dishes you prepare sound exquisite. Let me read a little bit from your menu on your website. A raw mahogany clam on the half shell, its flesh sliced over kale puree with kelp broth spooned on top. And another dish, a sushi-like confection, raw fermented lamb served atop a cake of crispy fried reindeer lichen, cemented in place with an emulsion of mushrooms and pickled berries. I mean, it sounds extraordinary. Tell me about these ingredients that I've mentioned there, because you source them all locally. So where do you get your ingredients from?
Yeah, that's correct. We try to source as much as possible locally. We do import some stuff during the winter times, you know, vegetables and stuff like that's very difficult to get here. So, but the focus and the main violin of each dish is local. Usually, also the things around it. We have 80% of the menu is probably from the sea, because that's where we get the you know, highest quality and most diverse raw material. You can never be more than 5 kilometers away from the sea in the Faroe Islands. So we just drive out to the coastline where we have most of our seafood, and we go and collect them fresh every day. And we work very closely with the farmers as well, to get the meats, and it's all very locally. And we forage some herbs when you know, during the summer months, wild vegetation and seaweeds as well. So again, trying to utilize everything we have and trying to get a better understanding of the place that we live in.
Yeah. Some of the ingredients you use at the restaurant would challenge, though, the average diner, Paul, both taste-wise and ethically, because I understand you serve whale meat and fried puffin bird head and many raw seafood dishes. What experience do you want to give your diners?
I think for us it's important that the people dining at our restaurant feel where in the world they are and when they are where they are. So seasonality is something important also. I think we just try to show our guests as much of the Faroe Islands as possible. And then combined with our creativity and professional approach, we create a tasting menu for our guests that combine all of these things.
Would you say that your restaurant has a signature dish?
We try actually not to have signature dishes, because I like to always keep moving and keep developing. So I don't want people traveling to the restaurant expecting something particular and then being disappointed when they don't get it.
Yeah,
but we try to keep changing. We keep working with the seasons. So it's quite a dynamic menu, I would say.
Now we can hear your four-year-old in the background there. So you're a busy chef and a busy father as well, Paul. With the restaurant receiving these two Michelin stars, have you been surprised by the accolades and the celebrity that your restaurant has achieved, given also how remote it is?
Yeah, of course. We were very in the beginning. We of course didn't think that we would ever receive a star, or let alone two stars. You know, before it happened, the Michelin Guide was more focusing on larger cities, and so it was a big surprise to us. But we're just very happy for it, and we're very happy that we're getting this recognition by doing what we're doing. I mean, we're not trying to pretend to be something that we're not. So we feel like we're very honest with those who we appreciate that the guide sees that as well. But you know, at the end of the day, it's not really, you know, we don't really think about the two stars or how far guests have traveled or all the nice things. We really just try to focus on each day and trying to do the best that we can, and trying to give as much as possible of ourselves to the guests that are sitting in the restaurant that particular day. Yeah?
Mm. You're with Night Live and Indira and I Do, and we're visiting one of the most remote fine dining restaurants in the world, Cox in the Faroe Islands in the North Atlantic Sea. And I'm talking to head chef Paul Andreas Ziska. Now, Paul Ziska's cooking at Cox has garnered such an international following that it's now the subject of a new documentary called Michelin Stars 2, Nordic by Nature. And here's a little taste of the documentary.
There has to be something that disturbs, that makes it different.
We're focusing on what we have around us, and a big part of that is whales. I know that that is a very controversial thing to serve.
These are a bit crazy.
He likes to create dishes that have a story. It's very theatrical in a way.
So that's just a little excerpt of the documentary Michelin Stars 2 Nordic by Nature about the Cox restaurant. And now we're going to meet the man who made the film, Rasmus Dinesen. Rasmus, great to have you with us on Nightlife.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, it's nice to be in Nightlife in Australia. Yeah. It's me with a four-year-old daughter. But
everyone's got daughters.
Yeah, it was nice to hear Paul talk about his vision while I was just thinking about how it has been to make the films the last couple of years.
So, I know. Well, that's what I wanted.
Like a brief tour back in time. Hello?
Yes, Rasmus, I just wanted to ask you about how difficult it must have been to shoot a documentary in that location. Tell me what the challenges were.
Oh, yeah, of course it's not easy to make a film like that, but I mean, it's you show up, you bring your camera, and then you find out that that you want to make a portrait of a very remote restaurant. You know, I've been doing documentaries about very fine dining Michelin starred restaurants for the last 4 or 5 years, and this definitely by far is a little bit odd, because it's in the middle of nowhere, and it's this long-haired very young chef coming from, in my point of or my perspective, out of nothing. I never heard about him before. I read about Restaurant Cox 4 or 5 years ago, and then suddenly he's somehow a superstar, at least getting there, because it's a very unique treat that he's serving for people from all over the world.
Mm. Your previous film is a feature documentary called Michelin Stars, Tales from the Kitchen, Rasmus, which is about Michelin-starred restaurants and chefs and the famous guide. Is that how you became interested in doing a documentary on cooks?
Yeah, definitely. It all turned out that after we made the first film, we wanted to make like a sequel also following restaurants from all over the world. But then the COVID came, and suddenly that was totally impossible to fly around in the world to do it. So we just ended up, we had been to the Faroe Islands to meet Paul Andreas, and it ended up like being a good idea that let's just do a portrait of Restaurant Cox, and that's going to be our number two.
And what struck you? And Rasmus, what struck you about Paul and his team?
The very relaxed way that they're meeting both the audience that they have, but also, as Paul say, they're just trying to give, they're not thinking that much about the stars and what they're doing. They're just trying to make good food, and that's exactly what they're doing.
And of course, the food and the ingredients of the Faroe Islands are very unique. What are some of the key things you discovered about the maybe the ancient food practices of the Faroese or some of their traditions?
Yeah, of course, they have some dishes. It's called rest. It's fermented fish that has been hanging in the wind for a long, 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 long time outside. And that's a very peculiar and odd taste for me, but I mean, and I guess I'm not the best guy to say that I would love to eat whales as well. But I mean, it wasn't a problem for me to try it, even though we were there. So of course I tried it, but it's kind of peculiar. I guess there's something in Denmark. We also have some strange dishes that people from other countries would say that's strange, but we like it.
I can imagine fermented fish. That would be a very strong smell. What were some of the dishes that you really enjoyed while you were making the documentary?
I really enjoyed the sea urchin. I've tried sea urchin in Thailand when the urchin comes from the very hot water in Thailand, and to try it in the Faroe Islands where it's cold water. It's like the taste of the urchin was so remarkably fresh and yummy and tasty that I haven't. It was a totally other thing than trying it in Thailand. And I've also tried it in Denmark, where it came from, I think, from France. But then it has been, taken by plane to Denmark and has been dead for quite a while. And that's not the same. Very fresh sea urchin from the Faroe Islands is the best sea urchin I've ever had, and I don't think it can other countries' sea urchin can compete with that.
Oh, it sounds wonderful! I hope I get to try it sometime. I would love to ask Paul now if he's had an opportunity to see the documentary. Paul?
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
And what did you think?
I thought it was very good. It was a great film. I think it's as our cooking is, it's very honest. It's just how it is. There's no, there's no dressing it up or anything. It's very raw and honest film. So I liked it. I liked it a lot. It's always, of course, strange to see yourself and you. That you sound stupid and you're not good enough actor to be included in a film. But other than that, I think they did a great job.
A lot of people are going to see this documentary now. A lot of people around the world who may have not heard of your restaurant Cox before, but they will because of the documentary. There is a delicious dessert that you made that they show in the documentary, a dessert that you made with seaweed and cream. Can you tell me about how you make that?
Yeah, sure. Again, it's we try to utilize what we have, and we try to when we're so limited in the ingredients that we want to work with, you know, you have to think other places and try different things. And one of the things is that we did was a dessert of dolls, which essentially what we do is we infuse the cream with the seaweed, and it has a very particular flavor, quite nice flavor actually. It's not it's not fishy or salty. It has kind of yeah, it's difficult to explain, but when we ate it, we immediately thought that, okay, this is something that belongs in the dessert somehow.
Yeah, it's going to make a good dessert.
Yeah, so we infused the cream, and then we set it as a flan, basically, and then we serve it with some different crispy seaweeds and pickled seaweeds and candied seaweeds, and so just really try to work around this this whole seaweed universe, and then serve it together with a sauce of wild blueberry.
Isn't that interesting? Because where we live, we may have one or two varieties of seaweed that we're used to eating, but you would have a wide variety with a whole lot of different textures and tastes and flavors.
Well, it's all about you know, looking, and I'm sure you will find it. It's not like we on the Faroe Islands have been eating all these different varieties throughout history, but if you look, and if you're curious enough, and if you dare to taste things without really knowing what they are, I mean, you would be surprised how many different flavors and textures you find.
Mm. And Paul, I understand you are currently running a restaurant in Greenland while you build a new home for the Cox restaurant in the Faroe Islands.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we closed down last year on the Faroe Islands, and we are planning relocating the restaurant and building a new restaurant. So we have 2 years to do this. So 22 and 23 we will be in Greenland, and then hopefully by 24 we will open up our doors again on the Faroe Islands.
Okay, in 24. So given the prominence that your restaurant is now going to receive from this documentary, what do you hope people will learn and take away from this unique food culture that you have in the Faroe Islands?
I don't know. It's you know, we are a restaurant, and we focus on cooking and making a good experience for people. I generally don't think that much further, but of course I can see that that what we are doing it can raise us some questions, and it can tell some stories. And I just think that what is the most important thing for us and for the whole globe, I think, is to again stay in contact with your surroundings and try to work with what you have, regardless of it, you know, being controversial or whatnot. I mean, what's the most important thing to us is that the raw material that we use is with respect.
You're doing before, very well. You've got a very animated 4-year-old there with you, Paul. You're doing very well. I might just ask, Rasmus, where can people in Australia see your film, Nordic by Nature? I just got a message from one of our listeners, Evie in Canberra. She saw the film today at the Scandinavian Film Festival, and she loved it. She said it was fascinating, beautiful, rugged, windswept landscape with a talented, unpretentious chef and his team talking about their ideas and their island culture. So she says it's really worthwhile to see. So Rasmus, where can Australian audiences see it?
Yeah, they should go to this Scandinavian Film Fest and see it. And then I know that we have a distributor right now trying to sell it around the world, and hopefully we will sell it to Australian television as well. I know it's, you know, when it's summer in Europe right now, everything goes a little slow, but I hopefully we will have it sold to Australia soon.
Very soon.
I just want to say thank you to the viewer that saw it today. It's always nice to hear that somebody likes what you're doing.
Yes, fabulous. Thank you so much. All right. Well, we'll look out for it. Good luck of getting a distributor here in Australia, because I'm sure there'll be a lot of people that would love to see this beautiful part of the world. Thank you both for your time and chatting to Nightlife.
Thanks a lot. See you, Paul. Nice to hear you.
Yeah, you too. Have a good one.
See Bye-bye. You, Paul. And well done, Paul, for managing an interview with Australian radio while your four-year-old was jumping around there. Thank you so much for your time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I've been chatting to Paul Andrian Zisker, who's head chef at Cox Restaurant in the Faroe Islands in the North Atlantic Sea, and filmmaker Rasmus Dinesen, who's just made a documentary about Paul's restaurant, and the documentary is called Michelin Star 2, Nordic by Nature. And as Evie just mentioned, in Canberra, she saw the film today at the Scandinavian Film Festival. So catch it there.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.